Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Glad everyone could be out here this morning. It's been a beautiful day, and glad everyone that's here is here. And welcome all out in Facebook land. And if you're out there in the parking lot, listen to our 88.1 on the FM station. FM dial. Yeah. But like I said, we're glad you're here. And just got a couple announcements. There's some on the back of the bulletin. 8:30 Tuesday morning. They're going to meet up here to take everything from the Hope Center to the up here at the church for the Samaritan's Purse. They're storing some stuff up there. So if you've got a few minutes to help them tote the stuff back and forth, that'd be appreciated. And while we're talking about the Samaritan's Purse, there's going to be a shoebox packing party on the 22nd. That's a Saturday. Begin at 9 o'clock. They had a whole bunch of people here last year. It went really pretty quick. So just plan to be here for that. If you've got any needs in the church, we've got a little tear-out sheet right here on the edge. Just tear it out and put it in a little box outside, and we will try to accommodate you any way we can. So, with that, I don't think there's any other.
We'll be in the book of James this morning. And have you invited the Lord to be a part of your worship and church experience today? Or have we just shown up here like we usually do? If you're not, I challenge you to invite the Lord to be a part of your worship and church experience today. Book of James.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're having. Yeah, the most important thing, if we're Baptists, you're going to eat. So we're having a soup and sandwich meal right after the service here. And all that money is going to go for the postage for the shoe boxes. So, okay. Yeah, another opportunity to eat, as Brother Wayne says, a men's prayer breakfast, 9 o'clock this Saturday morning. So, men, 8 o'clock, okay, I'm sorry, 8 o'clock. So, men, invite somebody, bring them up here, and we'll have a good time in fellowship and food. So, there's nothing else, let's bow with a word of prayer, and we'll get on with our service. Father God, as we humbly bow, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. I want to lift up my sins and transgressions I've made to you this week, and hope you will forgive me of all them. Be with all those who are sick and infirm and couldn't be here today. There's a lot on our prayer list that need your special touch. Be with the preacher that the message that he gives today will be received in the manner that it's been given. And most importantly, if someone in the sound of my voice doesn't know you, Lord, as your personal Savior, that this will be the day that you make that decision to follow the Lord and be blessed by him. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So we always do. We always try to sing the Lord. So let's stand and sing number 521 on Jordan's Stormy Banks.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand, and cast a wistful eye to a kingdom's fair and happy land, where my
Steve.
Page number 61, Savior Like a Shepherd Leads.
Thank you.
service, we're having a shoebox send dig so we can send them overseas. That's the goal that we have. It's good to see all of you today. So thankful you've made the effort to come out today. Looks like the frost might have kept some in, but that's all right. Any of you had to pull a window on your car, by water on your window this morning to get out? I almost did till my wife let me take her car. And she didn't make me. But it's that time. It feels good out there, don't it? It feels real good. Yesterday it was chill. Me and brother, as you're turning to the book of James, chapter 3, me and brother Paul went over to Kingsport to be with the Gideons yesterday morning, and it was chill when we went out there. But if again, it is good to have you today as you turn to the book of James, chapter 3. If you don't have a study guide for this morning's lesson, just raise your hand and we'll get you one. But it is good to have you, whether you're here on the property, watching by Facebook, or listening on your FM dial. We're thankful that you're here today. And if you don't remember anything else about today's service here at Thomas Village Baptist Church, one, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let him today, he'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. But also, I pray that there's a number two that you take away from being here at Thomas Village, and that is we love you. And we are thankful that you're here with us, and we want you to come back and spend more time. If you're watching by Facebook, you've got a personal invitation from the pastor to come and to be with us. But again, it's grateful that you're here. And as we're turning to James chapter 3, do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning before we get into our service and into our message today? Anyone? Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Amen, sister. There's always a reason to give praise, ain't there? If nothing else, I'm here. And anyone else? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I had a very beneficial week. Had a lot of meetings this week, but they all were very good and very profitable. So we give God the praise for that. Anyone else this morning?
I'm thankful for my church family.
Amen. Amen. It's good to have a church home, ain't it?
And I'm thankful for your innovative
discussion together. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Thank you, Brother Ken. Anyone else? If I had a title for this morning's message, it would be this: Sins of the Tongue, or the Biggest Sin That Pushes Blessings Out of Our Lives. The Biggest Sins That Push the Blessings Out of Our Lives. Not only out of our lives, out of our homes, out of our loved ones' lives, and out of our church's lives. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning as we talk about the sins of the tongue. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, and this is basically just going to kind of get us on to the topic this morning. But if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All righty. For we all stumble, James chapter 3, verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. But if one does not stumble in what they say, they are mature and able to control the entire body. Now, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, and we can control their whole bodies, and then consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by very small rudders wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, the tongue is a small part of the human body that boasts many things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members, and it stains the whole body, and it sets the course of life on fire. And itself is set on fire by hell. Verse 7, every kind of animal, bird, reptile, or fish is and has been tamed by humankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father,
And with it, we curse people who are made in God's own likeness. Blessings and cursings coming out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter waters from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? My brothers and sisters, neither can salt water yield fresh water. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you for your mercy and your grace. I'm thankful for the blood, I'm thankful for forgiveness, and I'm thankful that Jesus, you're at the right hand of the Father, intercessing not only on my behalf, but whosoever has come to you as Lord and Savior. So today, again, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my failures. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for giving us the privilege and opportunity to be together in your house. And God, I just ask you right now, if you would, just take your word and grow us. Let your Holy Spirit produce fruit in our lives. Specifically today, fruit of the tongue and of the mouth that are worthy of our Savior. And God, I praise you and I thank you. And I ask you for those that couldn't be here today, whether they're providentially hindered, whether they're dealing with sickness, as we do think of Mr. Leonard and Sister Nancy today and many others that are dealing with it. God, or whatever their need may be or the issue may be, we just pray blessings on them in Jesus' name. And again, Lord, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, most of us are part as we talk about the sins of the tongue. As we talk about this passage here from the book of James, most of us are probably familiar with it. James begins to start out and he uses two illustrations. The first is that of a horse. And he talks about, and horses can go all the way. I've seen one on TikTok or whatever. That rascal ain't no bigger than a cat. And then some of them can get up. I mean, those draft horses, man, they are huge and they weigh tons and all that. But at the same time, you can take one small bar about 3 inches wide with a chain around it and stick it in their mouth. And you can cause that big draft horse to basically do whatever you want it to do simply by having control of its mouth and its tongue. And then he uses the picture of a boat and, you know, or a ship, more like it a ship. I ain't never been on a ship. All I've ever known is boats. So, but you think about the size of how big the ships are, but then at the same time, relatively compared to the size of the boat, the rudder is very small, but yet it can be used to turn that great big ship wherever the captain of that ship would. It's controlled by that small thing. And so then we see how that he goes on in verse 5 and following that he says that the human body is made up of many parts, and of all the parts that we're mindful of, the tongue is probably one of the smallest of those parts, but yet it causes more trouble than all the other parts many times put together. He goes on to say, he says it's like a fire. And specifically, like a fire from hell. This week, in the past few weeks, because I've been studying on this for almost about a month, I looked at the California fires. Back in 2020, it says that 4,397,809 acres were destroyed because of wildfires. There were 397 fires that destroyed over 4 million acres. And most of them were started either by arson, ignorance or not paying attention, or either lightning that was struck. Some of them were even started by just somebody flipping a cigarette butt out the window. And how many times have big issues in our lives and in the lives at work, lives of our family members, lives at church, all being almost as small and simple as flicking a cigarette butt out the window, but yet, whoosh, the wrong words can consume it. Notice it says every animal, lions, tigers, lion, bear, all that. Oh my, what was the old saying? Lions, tigers, bears, oh my. All of them. Even Shamu. I was thinking, there ain't no fish been tamed, but yeah, they tame fishes and do all that. But yet, the human tongue cannot be tamed. Matter of fact, it's full of deadly poison. And he goes on to talk about how It's full of curses and poison, and how with the same tongue we bless somebody, but at the same time we curse somebody. And how that a tree should not be producing two different types of fruit. It's not natural. A well should not produce salty and pure water. It's not natural. And in the same idea, it's not natural for somebody that professes to know Jesus Christ to not be able to control their tongue. Now, like he said, we're all going to stumble. We're all going to stumble. But if you read a few verses later, I believe it's over in chapter 1 around verse 27, he says this: if anybody thinks themselves to be religious, if anybody thinks that they're a godly individual, but they don't have control of their tongue, maybe it's not that they don't have control of their tongue, maybe they just don't care. Maybe they just don't give a rip. But James said that the man or the woman that does not have control over their tongue, but yet they think they're religious, yet they think they're godly, they've got another thing coming. Because while you might think you're godly, but speak whatever way you want to, God does not think you're righteous and you're right. And see, it's not just about here at church, it's not just about outside of church, but here's the thing. The Bible teaches us this, that there is so much power and authority in our tongue, and we don't even understand it. The Bible tells us over in the book of Genesis that we've been made into the image and the likeness of God. What did he do? Did he take his hands and literally form things? No, everything that we know is he spoke it. The Bible teaches us that even today he speaks blessings over us. And as mama, daddy, husband, wife, aunt, uncle, members of Thomas Village, bosses at work or whatever, you have the authority. There is power in your tongue. And if you're speaking negatively over things, then guess what? You should only expect negativity. But if you're speaking positively over those things, the Bible says this, Proverbs 18:21, the power of life and death is in your tongue, and those that love it will eat from it. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20, it says that our lives will be filled by the fruit of our tongue. If you're speaking negatively and sourly and bitterly, guess what your life will probably be filled with? Negatively, bitterness, and anxiety and stuff like that. Proverbs 12:14. Proverbs 13:2. All of those tell us that we have the ability to speak blessings, positivity, and goodness into our lives if we're choosing to do it. Now here's the thing. Speaking that way does not come naturally. Speaking that way doesn't come easily. Just like everything else, when we became to know Christ, we had to practice His ways. We have to practice what is right in the eyes of God. And the same is true with our tongue, that we must speak blessings, and we have to tame our tongue and to teach our tongue what God would have us to do. But last week, as we were talking about it, if you look at your notes, one page of those notes is nothing but Scripture. That's all it is. And God has really put on my heart that I need to be preaching against sin. And I got to thinking about it. You know, I could get up there, rip, snort, rail, and all that. And I could preach about murder. I could preach about infidelity, false religions, Islam, abortion, homosexuality, theft, all that kind of stuff, and I bet I'd get a lot of amens. But then I had to get to praying, are those the sins that's holding up God from working in Thomas Village Baptist Church? Are those the sins that we're battling? Are those the sins that's going to keep us as individuals and as a family and as a church? Are those the sins that's going to keep us from going deeper in a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? Is it going to keep Thomas Village from becoming all that God would have us to be? No. No, it's not those sins. But I tell you this, the sins of the tongue can stymie and shut down anything that God is ready and willing to do in the church. I want you to listen to me today, because I know I'm going to step on toes today. But just remember, my nose and toes have already been stepped on this week. Homosexuality, I want you to kind of get the whole picture. That's why I get it. Homosexuality is one of those, especially in the South, that not only do we know it's a sin, but we find it just disgusting sometimes. I mean, it's just not natural and all that. And we like those passages, like in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, where it says, you're not to sleep with a man or as with a woman. It is detestable, or it is an abomination. The word abomination there, I done got them leaving. Look at there. The word abomination means stinking. That it is rotten and it stinks in the nostrils of God. And so I looked up all the passages that deal with homosexuality in Scripture. And if you'll look there in the Old Testament, there's Genesis 19, 1 through 11, which is Sodom and Gomorrah, Leviticus 18, 22, Leviticus 20, 13. And then there's Kings chapter 15, verse 12, where Asa condemns and casts out all the male prostitute religions and all that's there. And then if you look in the New Testament, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Timothy, Jude, all of those. Basically what I found right there, there's anywhere just dealing with it, not condemning it, but just dealing with homosexuality. There's about 25 verses that deal with it. But do you know the word abomination is used 167 times in the book, in the Old Testament? And there are many things that were abominable. One of them was if Joseph and his brothers would have ate with the Egyptians when they came in, that would have been an abomination, and that would have been disgusting in the eyes of God. And then, if you in the New Testament, the word abomination is used anywhere from 8 to 10 times. And one of them is in the book of Titus, chapter 10, verses 10 through 16, where they're talking about a people called the Cretans and how that they're detestable, they're lazy, and they're detestable in the eyes of God because they are run by their belly. Their own fleshly desires control them instead of, not that they were living in immorally or anything like that, but they were just self-centered. And then there's one other use in the Old Testament, in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, where the word abomination or detestable is used again. And it says this, the Lord hates six things, or there's six things that God hates. No, there's seven, it goes on to say, that are detestable, or that stink in His nostrils. Arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet eager to run to evil, witnesses who give false testimony, and one who stirs up trouble among God's people or among the brethren. And as I read that a few weeks ago, what stood out to me was three out of the seven things that God hates deals with the mouth. He said, I hate liars, I hate those who give false testimony, and I hate those who stir up trouble in my family. That's what he said, not me, but he said that. And so then, after I looked up the 25 that I saw, that's the abomination to the Lord, then I began to look up issues dealing with the mouth and the tongue. If God hates it, and I want you to look at that. There are over 70 some odd verses just on your paper. Just on your paper that God says basically, I don't like what the tongue can do. I don't like the damage that people bring with their mouth and with their tongue. One of them, one commentary I read behind, I only found 70 something. And I know there's more. He said there's over 133 plus scriptures in the Bible that deal with the issue of the tongue. So, I mean, just as your pastor and here at Thomas Village and what I go through in my life, what do I think God wants me to be focusing on? Murder? Theft? Or learning how to let my tongue be a source of blessings and not of cursings, a source where it benefits. The Bible says that it can be like golden apples to those who need it. It can be like cool water to those that are in need of it. I want my tongue to be that. And you know what else? Not only do I want you to be blessed by speaking favor in your life, but I want you to be blessings to others by speaking blessings and benefits in their lives. And here's something that's funny as well. And then I'll go to preaching, all right?
If you look in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 31, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, and 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, there's a list of what we as Christians, we would call them major sins. You know what I mean? These are the big boys. If anybody's going to hell, these folks is going to hell, right? And listen, it says God haters. Amen. That's a major sin, ain't it? It goes on to, don't amen me because you know I'm setting you up. God haters, murderers, thieves, adulterers, greedy, swindlers, lawbreakers, kidnappers, and many, many more. But guess what he also lists with those major sins? Quarrelsome. People who like to start quarrels. Gossips. Slanderers. And verbally abusive people. If we're looking, and we know that God doesn't, if you're a sinner, you're a sinner. But in our book, we do. We elevate those sins, right? We like our caste system. We like to be able to say, I ain't a murderer, so I'm better than the people who are murderers. Well, God says, hey, if you quarrelsome, gossip, slander, verbally abuses, I'm going to lump you all together. Don't you think we should listen when God speaks about stuff like that? So there's seven things today. I believe it's seven. Seven sins of our tongues that I believe if we can work on. And you know, most of these I'm going to tell on myself today, okay? I'm going to get my own self in trouble here. But if we just work on being like Christ, how much more blessings, benefit, and favor could be upon us and around us simply because we're mindful of how we use our mouth. Look at the first one, the sin of the tongue. Empty and misuse of God's name. You know the verse, Deuteronomy 5 verse 11. Do not misuse the name of the Lord, or do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who uses his name. Oh my gosh. Oh. And Jesus Christ in means. That is usually the way that it is used. Now we know that there's GD and all those other words, but I'd say very, very rarely is there someone that has never said, oh my gosh, in a way, in an empty usage. I'll be honest with you. There's times in my life where it comes up, and praise God for men and people that are put around me that will call me out on it, because a lot of us do it without even thinking about it. Because it's become such a part of our life. But God does not find it funny, simple, nor will He look over the fact when we use His name in an improper fashion. The Jews looked on it so holy that they would not even write it or say it. They simply used consonants out of their vowel, out of their alphabet, and they would not even announce His name. They went that far. And we live in a world today where it's used as an explicit. You know what? There's racial slurs that people would rather hear than to hear those words. You know that? The name of Jesus. Anymore, and used to, if it was 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and you was watching broadcast television, you didn't hear that stuff. But it's just used anymore. But I want to tell you something else. God called this to my attention. Over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 8 and 9, it says, don't let your prophets who are among you and your diviners deceive you, and don't listen to the dreams you elicit from them. For they are prophesying falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them. This is the Lord's declaration. To try to pass something off as though it was God's is using the Lord's name in vain. Well, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not in the Bible, so don't try to pass it off for Him. He won't put no more on you than He can bear. No, that ain't in the Bible, so don't try to pass it off on Him. And if we say something like this, well, it's God's will. It's God's will. And we're not certain of that. Do you think we're using God's name in vain then? I just, And in this one, I think that we need to recognize how holy the name of God is, specifically the name of Jesus Christ. And that there is no other name that compares to that name. And it should be elevated above anything and everything in our lives. And we should do our best not to even be caught using it in an empty or vain way. Another way that the name of Jesus or the name of God is used empty is when somebody says, "I know God," and they don't know Him. Their lives reflect nothing about God. Nobody's perfect. We're all going to sin. But one of the sins of the tongue is to use the name of God emptily and without respect. The second one is this. Second sin of the tongue. Empty and idle chatter. Empty and idle chatter. Proverbs 10:10, a sly wink of the eye causes grief, and a babbling fool will be destroyed. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, at the same time they also learn to be idle, going from house to house. They are not only idle, but they are gossips and busybodies, saying things they shouldn't say. Idle and empty chatter is simply thoughtless, useless, and unbeneficial gabbing. Just a talking to be talking. That's why I love my wife, because I can sit in a house with her for 3 to 4 hours. I never have to say a word. No, it ain't that bad. But just being able to be there. I tell you where I get at this. If I get in situations that I'm uncomfortable with, I just blah, 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 just going off, just talking and all that. Other times, you know, when you just chatter like that is when you're real comfortable and your buddies and you're just like, hey, blah, 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 and you're just talking about stuff that ain't even worth talking about. It's of no benefit and nothing, but we just put it all out there, hang out all the dirty laundry, put everything out there. But here's a sobering thought. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37 says that every one of us, will be judged for every careless word. All the idle talk. Man, if I look back on my life, it's kind of a scary thing, Brother Ron. And all the just empty talking. What are you talking about? Nothing. We're just talking. Here's the good thing, though. There is the blood. Amen. And all those idle conversations and all those things that I just put out there and probably didn't do no good to say, in Jesus' name I ask forgiveness for it, and I pray that His blood. And we was talking about the Ark of the Covenant this morning. And lots of times when we see a picture of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, you know where they poured the blood, it's all cleaned up. But you know what? It was a bloody mess because the priest didn't go back in there after he did it and cleaned it up. The blood was always there. And hallelujah, today whatever sins we've confessed in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus has covered them, and it is still there, no matter how guilty my flesh makes me, no matter how much the devil tries to throw it back in my face, all the words of my idle chatter and anything in the name of Jesus has been covered and I've been forgiven by His blood. But this is where we need to learn Scripture. We learn Scripture. Because Proverbs 17:28 tells us this, when it comes to idle chatter, that even a fool is considered wise when he's able to keep silent, discerning when he needs to seal his lips. When you don't know, just shut up. That's a good lesson, right? When you don't know what the right thing to say is, shut up. My wife uses that a lot on me. No, she wouldn't tell me shut up. I got you, baby. Taking care of you. But just think about it. The third sin of the tongues, flattery and false praise. Flattery and false praise. Proverbs 29:5, it says, "And a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for their feet." 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 and following. "For we never use flattering speech, as you know, and had greedy motives. God is our witness." What is flattery speech, number one, or false praise? It's praise, especially given with an ulterior motive. Man, you looking good today. Whoo, baby, that outfit looks good on you. Can I buy a new rifle? You see? And lots of times us, regular folks, we don't do it hoping they're going to give us $50 million. We don't do it hoping they're going to leave us the land in their will. No, we want them to like us. You know what I mean? We want them to like us. We want them to think that we're good people. And maybe the work they did isn't that great, but man, you did great work. Maybe they don't look great in that outfit, but, oh man, where'd you get them shoes from? I really like them shoes. Preacher, that was a great sermon. You know what? Most of the stuff, there's no need to say good or bad about it. Most people that we come across, Bob, they won't think anything less of us if we just say nothing. But when we flatter someone, what we're doing, here's where the sin comes in. We make it about us. When we tell somebody that they did a better job or they look better than they look or what they're doing is better than what it is, what we're doing is we're saying, I want you to see me better than you would if I didn't say this. I want you to think better of me, so I'm going to blow some hot air in your direction. When really, overall, what will it profit? But it is a sin in the eyes of God. Huh? We don't think about it like that, right? We don't look at it when we do that. Or when we use the Lord's name in vain, those other things, or the ones that I'm fixing to bring up. We don't look at those as sins that break our relationship with God. But everyone that we're talking about today, not only will they break our fellowship with God, not lose our salvation. It won't lose our salvation, but it'll break that closeness. And also, we're not putting ourselves in a place where we can be blessed. When we speak blessings over our children. Praise God, I don't want my children to make any of the mistakes I've made. I pray to God in Jesus' name that they're wiser than me. That they make better decisions than me. Praise God today. So we got to watch out for the sin of flattery and false compliments. The next one is the sin of the tongue is lying and false testimony. And don't get me wrong, I've learned this. I've been in it long enough to know that some of the best liars are sitting in a church pew. Some of the best liars you'll ever come around is sitting in a church pew. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11, you must not steal. You must not act deceptively or lie to one another. Then Jesus said over in John chapter 8, verse 44 and following, He says, you're of your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells lies, he speaks of his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies. You know, Jesus was very familiar with liars. He had a lot to do with liars. He had Judas that was right there with him all the time, lying to him. Then he had others that were around him that were lying to him. But then when he went before, this is one reason why I think we see false witnesses so much. Not only is lies or liars put in there, but he adds the false witnesses. It was from false witnesses. They had false witnesses lined up against him when he went before and he lied to them. What is lying? Lying is a statement that is false, but it's false with the intent to mislead or deceive somebody. It's one thing to misspeak. You know what I mean? Sometimes we get our facts confused and we say something wrong. And it's I remember my daddy. I told you I was going to tell myself. When I was in high school, I was failing a certain class, and so I changed my grades on my report card and made it look like I was bringing in B's instead of F's. And my daddy went around bragging on me for about 6 weeks about I was doing so good. And then the teacher called him and said, are y'all not concerned? Your son is failing high school. What's going on here? And I'll never forget that he come to me and he said, son, he says, the thing that really breaks my heart is that you made a liar out of me. Now, my dad wasn't lying. He just didn't know the whole truth. But there are people. And then false testimony. False testimony is when you say that you have firsthand experience on a situation or on somebody, but yet you're deceiving about that matter. That's what it is. That's and you know what? A lie is a lie is a lie, whether it's a big lie or a little lie. It is a lie. And we live in a world anymore where lying is just accepted. From the White House all the way down. I mean, how many of us believe when the White House spokesperson gets up there that we're going to hear any truth when she stands up there? But see, what does the Bible say? We're to be a peculiar people. We're to be the weirdos who like truth and tell truth. That's who we're to be. Sin of the tongue, number five. We are on five, right? Yeah, we're on five. Slander, gossip, and backbiting. Slander, gossip, and backbiting. Now, I'm not going to read all of these, but I'm going to read Romans chapter 1, verses 28 and following. And because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a worthless or a reprobate mind to do what is morally wrong. They are filled with all unrighteousness. Now listen to this. They're evil, greedy, wicked. They're full of envy. They're murderers, but they're also quarrel. They're deceitful and they're malice, but they also gossip. They're backbiters. They're God haters. Look at that. Backbiters and God haters right there together. Look at it. It says, they gossip, they backbite, and they hate God. Arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. What is a slanderer or a backbiter? It said when it's whispered. Verbal information given with the intent to defame or harm someone's reputation. The only reason that the words are being spoken is to tear someone down. Gossip. Merriam-Webster had a word it called a rumor monger. We've heard of whoremongers. But there's one rumor monger. That's a person who, listen to this one, a gossip is a person who finds joy in habitually revealing sensational facts, rumors and reports, and personal information about others without their consent or permission. Can I just say this? How sad and how empty is a person's life that gets caught up in this type of stuff? Now, I got to admit, men, we can gossip with the best of them, buddy. We can get together and we can ramble and we can do all that. But I mean, what's the old saying? If they talk about me, they're leaving somebody else alone. Talk about Jesus. Talk about how good He's been, how good He is, how He's blessed me. And if I can't think of nothing right now, then talk about heaven. Talk about where that is. But here's the thing. We can think it's just passing time and doing whatever, but God lines it right up there with God haters. He put it in the sentence. I didn't. He put it there. And here's the thing too. Many... I've been a minister 20 years. I was a pastor's son for 20 other years. And churches, they're pretty good gossip and rumor mills. That's just the truth. It's just the truth. And here's the thing. People ain't going to come and trust us and ask us to pray for them and put their deepest issues in our hands if we're going to be known for running around and talking about it. And I'm as guilty... And I done told you, my nose and toes has been stomped this week. The next one is the sin of the tongue, murmuring and complaining. Now, I could have went to Exodus and preached a whole sermon just on this right here. Now, I'm going to just read 1 Corinthians 10:10. It says, let us not test Christ, as some of them were in and were destroyed by snakes, nor should we complain, as some did, and they were killed by the destroyer. The word murmur means a half-expressed complaint or soft, indistinct grumbling.
Wait a minute, everybody, what did I say?
What'd you say? Nothing. Nothing. It's just between me and him. It wouldn't do nothing for you if I told it to you. And then there's complaining. To express grief, pain, or discontent. You know what? I don't care who you are, there's always a reason to complain, isn't there? Because here's the bottom line. Life ain't fair. Life is not fair. What you're going through right now, you don't deserve it. You didn't ask for it. It's not God's judgment falling on you. But life ain't fair. And either we're going to choose to complain about it 24/7, or we're going to ask Jesus that His Holy Spirit rise up within us and allow our tongues to speak of His glory, His goodness, His mercy, and His promises, or either we're going to let our old sinful nature, our old down-in-the-mouth human being, and we're just going to talk about how everything is bad, nothing is good, and that's all I got. And that's the thing, see? Like he said, 18:20, the power of life and death is in the tongue. If you're going to keep speaking that negativity on your life, well, you can't expect much more to be better. At least if you're speaking blessings and life is still unfair and life is still hard, at least you can control your attitude. At least you can control, well, the Holy Spirit will control your emotions in the midst of it. Amen? And then the last one is this one. The sins of the tongue spreading discord and dissension within the body of Christ. And that takes us back to Proverbs chapter 16 where he lays out those three things. He says, lying, that stinks in my nostrils. It's like a rotten meat. I can't stand the smell. False witnesses, I don't like it. Stinks, rotten meat in my nostrils. And then the last thing there in verse 19, Proverbs 6:19, it says, and witnesses that spread false testimony, and one who stirs discord or trouble among the brothers. What is it to sow discord among the brethren? Well, to sow, what does that mean? That means to take and plant seeds. That you're putting out seeds. And when you put those seeds out, whatever it is, if it's a fig seed, if it's a mustard seed, if it's a watermelon seed, you're expecting that to grow, right? To sow seeds of what? Discord. Discord is bitterness, strife, disunity. So those seeds that are being sown, whoever, and it boils down to the enemy, because we battle not against flesh and blood, right? Amen. It's not the individual, it's the spirit that's behind it. It's hoping that there'll be discord, bitterness, resentment, all those things among the family, the brethren. This is the family of Christ, specifically the local church, Thomas Village Baptist Church. So to sow discord among the brethren is a deliberate, or maybe not, non-deliberate action of planting corrupt and ungodly attitudes or feelings within the church. Solomon in Proverbs shows that these seeds of discord are often spread by complaint, slander, and false testimony, as well as actions that can do harm to the body. Therefore, each and every true member of the local church, whether here, there, or California, we need to be mindful that the enemy is out there trying to sow seeds like this. And we need to be willing to confront them. We need to be willing to deal with it. Because if somebody's sowing seeds of discourse, it's being done in an attitude of selfishness for personal gain, position, and authority within the body of Christ. Instead of wanting it to be God's way and being done before the purpose and the plan of God, there's an ulterior motive that boils down to the flesh. And here's the thing, Thomas Millings. The closer we move to being God, where God would have us to be, the closer we get to having His will, His authority taking over every nook and every cranny, then the more the enemy's going to try to sow those seeds. Remember the parable of the one that sowed the seeds into the wheat field? He came by night, did it in darkness, it's sneakiness. But here's the thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Our best days are yet ahead. And praise God, how fast can we usher those days in by learning how to control our tongue? And again, it's not just about Thomas Village. It's about what I want for my life. It's about what I want for my wife's life, for my family's life. How many of you? I remember I went to a school with a boy, and he was effeminate. And we were mean. We called him all sorts of names. Well, by the time we got to high school, out of college, guess what? He came out. Others that I knew their parents called them stupid. You're good for nothing. You'll never amount to anything. I can take you and I can show you. They've not progressed nowhere away from what their family progressed from. Addiction, poverty, and abuse. Guess what? What was spoken over them became a reality. But I'll tell you this as well. My daddy spoke blessings over me. He prayed that curses be broken in my life. He prayed victory be given. And hallelujah, I'm seeing that being fulfilled in my life. I talked with a man this week who came and he was raised in this area. And he told me, he says, I'm trying to break the bondage of poverty and of just low living. And praise God, you know what's happening? He's breaking it in his family. But he's also speaking it in his family. He's speaking it over his children. He's speaking it over his spouse. He's speaking it over his church because he recognizes that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And so here, I didn't put these on your paper because I wanted you to write these down. But you remember we talked a few weeks ago about praying Scripture. You remember that? Because when you don't know what to pray, sometimes we just don't know what to pray. And the Bible says we pray wrong sometimes. But when we pray what God says, you can't go wrong there. Amen? Listen what he says over in Psalms chapter 141, verse 3. Set a watch over my mouth, O Lord, and keep watch over the door of my lips. Hey, I'm going to start praying that. I'm going to put that up around my house. And if I don't remember to pray it, my wife will remind me to pray that. Psalms 141:3. What about 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10? Whoever desires to love life and to see good days. I think that's all of us, right? We want to love the life we're living. We want to see good days in our life. Then let us keep our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking deceit. I want to have a good life. I want to have good days. So Lord, let my lips be held from deceit and speaking evil. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. The tongue holds the power of life and death, and those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart cause you to speak hastily before the Lord about anything. God is in heaven, you are on earth, so let your words be few. Hey, if you remember that there is a Creator and we'll give answer for every word we say, we may not say. I remember as a boy, there was things I wouldn't say to Mom and Daddy, not because I didn't want to say them, or maybe there was even the right thing to say, but I just did not want to have to deal with the consequences of those words coming out my mouth in earshot of them, you know, because I'd have got a slap to the face or something like that. And we'll give an answer for every word. And everything. But see, that's the thing. God has given us this mouth. And you know what he says? I'm going to let you do with it whatever you choose to do with it. Right? If you want to be blessed, if you want to have favor, if you want to see the fruit of goodness and all, then praise God, use it for that. But if you don't, and you use it for negativity, then... And it also, the Bible calls it curses. Curses. Not just curse words, but that we bring things upon ourselves. simply by the words we say. This morning, we're not going to have our regular altar call this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today I would love to show you what the Bible says about being saved. And yes, it involves saying something. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead and confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Doesn't matter whatever you've done. Those darkest things that's in your closet you don't want anybody to know about, Jesus knows about it, and He died on the cross to cover it. The next thing is this. Would you just pray with me today that, Lord, use my mouth for Your glory. Wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, just take my tongue and let me speak. And Lord, shut it if it needs to be shut. Holy Spirit, work in me to shut my mouth. I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would right now. And the altar is open. If you need to come today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you're watching on the Facebook, I'm going to ask you to come right now. Come right now. All right, here's the main part. If you desire for God to use your mouth as a tool for His glory and for the good of those around you, just raise your hand right now because I want to pray over you. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, first off, I come before You, and Lord, I thank You for this day, and I ask forgiveness for the way I've allowed my mouth to talk and to do, and Lord, the negativity that I allow to come out of it sometimes, a lot of the times. Lord, I ask You to forgive me. And Lord, I pray today that You'll teach me how to submit to the person of the Holy Spirit so that I will speak life. I will speak goodness. I will speak blessings. I will speak bountiful favor. Not just on my life, but Lord, over the life of those that You put me in contact with. Lord, I thank You for everyone that's here today. And Heavenly Father, Lord, it's in Jesus' name I ask You to go with us. Amen and amen. All right, before we go, I want to remind you, tonight we'll be finishing up the study on eternal security. All the things you'd have to lose if you could lose your salvation. Come back and be a part of that. And then also, we're fixing to go in here and eat, and we're going to have a blessing so you can go in there and eat. Okay, any words of praise or testimony before we close out this morning? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, thank You for this day. Thank You for everyone that's gathered here. And Lord, we just pray right now that You bless this soup and sandwiches and all that's there. But God, we also pray above and beyond that, that You bless those shoe boxes. That, Lord, they'll go to someone, little girl, little boy, and that it'll just change their lives. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless y'all. Thank You for